Good morning. My name is Grace Marie. I'm the Worship Arts Director here, and I am really grateful to be a part of what God's doing here this morning in this service. That song the choir just sang, so gorgeous, and just reminds all of us that we have a Savior with wide open arms. I love that. As we dive into this text this morning, the invitation is so clear for all of us that God is calling us closer to Him and drawing us closer to His presence. As we continue this series this morning on I Am, I want to start by saying that I have very little, practical zero experience with gardening, okay? Someone caught me after the service. I said in the message, the last service, you know, I do not have a green thumb. And several people stopped me and they were like, I have a black thumb or I have a brown thumb. I can't keep anything alive either. But for some of you who are really into gardening and such, how many of you would say you do have a green thumb? Anybody? Well, okay, don't be shy. We need to know who to call on when we need work done in our house, okay? For many of you, you're really familiar with gardens and the process, the preparation, the work, the goal of what you're caring for in order for it to grow and thrive and to bear fruit like it's supposed to. Today, we're going to look at an image that Jesus gives His followers in John 15 so that they can understand Him better. And He does this by describing something that they would have been really familiar with all throughout Jerusalem, and it was a vineyard, the picture of a vineyard. Now, to get a real understanding of what Jesus is talking about, we have to understand that a vineyard or grapevines are actually mentioned throughout the Bible, one of the most prominent fruits that is mentioned. And as it's gone throughout the Bible, we realize that for the Jewish people, it was a big part of their culture. It was also a big part of their economy. It was a big part of how the people in Jerusalem would even make money through these vineyards that were on the outside of the city. And it's important for us today because as we dive into this passage in John 15, we're going to understand the meaning and the weight that it carried for those disciples, but also the meaning and the weight that it carries for us as followers of Jesus today. To get a better understanding of really what was happening when Jesus spoke these words, which I'm sure many of us have heard, we'll read in just a minute, we have to understand that the background is that the disciples have just gathered in the upper room with Jesus. Jesus has just knelt and washed their feet. He broke bread with them. He was gathered with them for the very last time. He was teaching them about what the Son of Man was going to do and that He would be leaving but returning again one day. And as they're gathered around in this place, Judas had already left at this point because he was going to be betraying Jesus. And Jesus stays with the 11 disciples in this place continuing to teach Him. But as they leave that place, Jesus takes His final walk. He takes His final walk from the upper room headed towards the Garden of Gethsemane where He will be betrayed and taken to be crucified. And it's on this walk from the upper room gathering to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus says these words that we find in John chapter 15. I'm going to read them for us if you want to follow us along in your Bible. On the screen, here's what it says. I am the true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus says this I am statement. Now, in the context of what's happening in John, the seven I am statements, it's actually the very last statement. So we're kind of going out of order the next few weeks. Sorry about that. But I am the true grapevine. I am the true grapevine. There are three images that he gives us in this parable, the story that he tells, this picture that he gives us as he's walking with these disciples. There are three things that we see that stand out. There's a gardener, there's a grapevine, and there are branches. And we understand as the passage is unpacked that the gardener is God the Father, the grapevine is Jesus himself, and that the branches are the believers, the disciples, the followers of Jesus then and then to come. So this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to dive into this passage together and walk through and ask the questions, what do each one of those really mean? What is Jesus really trying to teach us? Because for me, this is a story I've read many times. I've heard things about it, but to really understand it in context, there's so much there for us to know as for what it means to really be a follower of Jesus in this world. So let's look back at the first couple verses and take it a few verses at a time. Verses 1 and 2, it says this again. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. The first picture we get here as we look at this first character of the gardener is that God the Father is the gardener that prunes. God the Father is the gardener that prunes. Now, pruning is not usually a word we get thrilled about as we hear it being talked about. It's also a word we don't like being done to us when it comes to what this is talking about. But if it's a necessary part of growth. Now, I have to admit, like I've already said, I've done zero gardening really in my life. And I had to borrow these from Melody this morning. Here's some little pruners. I'm sure a lot of you have your own, am I right? Yes, okay. I'm just looking for who I need to get to come do some yard work for me today. That's why I keep asking you to put your hand up. But these pruners are, hand pruner is what is used as a tool to cut away and to trim at the unnecessary things on a branch or on a vine. The word here used for prune actually means to cleanse, to trim clean, to purify, basically to get rid of the unnecessary things. I read a story this past week about a winemaker in California known for producing high-quality wines in the Napa region. He was asked to explain how they prune their vineyards and why they prune their vineyards. And this is what he says. He says, because if it is not pruned, if the vine or the vineyard or the branches, if it's not pruned every year, it will revert very quickly to its wild nature. It'll be climbing everywhere with its long, sinewy trunk and tiny, scraggly branches of uneven grapes. Every year we need to assess the growth of the vines and decide whether to prune back harder or to let them grow a bit bigger and return them to the same size and shape that they were before. You see, this vine dresser knows that though it may seem odd or painful, that actually cutting it back is the thing that'll actually bring the most growth for his vineyard. We need to begin to understand even more and more that God, as this vine dresser, this gardener that we see here in John 15, cares so much about the fruitfulness of our lives. He cares so much about the flourishing and the health of his people that he is willing to take a tool to begin cutting away at the things that keep us from growing. He's willing to cut away at the things that keep us from growing. In fact, God may be cutting you down to help you grow up. It doesn't matter how old you are, God may be cutting you down to help you grow up and mature. Ultimately, pruning in this work that's so necessary is for producing. The pruning back is for the producing that's going to happen. A vineyard that's planted is a lot of work. And it's a lot of very particular processes, and it's not just done for looks and ornament. People don't just put vineyards on the side of hills and just say they want it there for people to come look at. The whole point of the vineyard is to actually produce the fruit and the grapes. So all the work that goes into it is for that end and that end alone. And the gardener will do what it takes, even if that means cutting the useless and fruitless branches away so that the whole vineyard will thrive. We have to ask ourselves this morning, are there unnecessary things in our life? Is there unproductive growth in our life that needs to be trimmed away, that needs to be cut out, so that the most attention can go towards the things for ultimate growth? Do we realize that without the Father's hand guiding our lives and giving us wisdom and instructing us, do we realize that without His hand, we will revert quickly to our sinful nature? Like I mentioned, I've done very little work in the yard, gardening and such. And so as I studied for this message and did a little research, I learned a thing or two. I don't know if I'm going to put it in practice, but I learned a thing or two. And one of the things I learned was about something called sucker shoots. Okay, I'd never heard of a sucker shoot ever in my whole life, okay? And what it is it's the little shoots, the little branches that start to come off of the vine or where the healthy branches are, they begin to pop up and grow off, and they're usually weak, sickly, or they're poorly located in a place where it's preventing sun and the healthy things to get to the thriving branches. So what they do is they go in there and they do this, it's called the suckering process, and they trim away and get it out of the way so that it makes room for the healthy shoots to grow. When Pastor Jeff and I were talking about this message this past week, because we were both preaching this week and he's in the auditorium, I was like, I learned this thing about sucker shoots. And he was like, really? He'd never heard of it either. So I'm explaining it to him, and without missing a beat, he said, good, you don't need any suckers in your life anyway. I said, amen, that's right. But what if we really begin to see that the discipline of God and the pruning of God in our lives was ultimately about trimming away the things in our lives that are only drawing attention away from the best things God wants to do in our life? When we experience loss or our circumstances change or the pathway before us gets kind of crooked and we're like, wait, what's God doing here? May we begin to lean and trust that it's actually the Father, God, the gardener, trimming some things away in our life for a better future. One of my friends and members here, Joe Walker, as I'm sure many of you know, she has three children, and her youngest child is Shawnee, who she adopted from India, and she has some health issues that she's been getting taken care of. This past week she went to a doctor. She also has some limb deficiencies, but she had to go see this doctor on Friday because they needed to look at putting her in a brace. And Joe posted on Facebook a little bit about what that trip was like, but basically she said they found out the unfortunate news that Shawnee is going to need to be in an all-day brace. And, you know, it's like, oh, that's not what we wanted to hear. You know, that's going to be really hard for her. I don't know how long she's going to have to do this for in the future. But what she wrote struck me so hard in light of what we were talking about today. This is what she wrote. I was hoping to avoid that, but I understand the urgency now for a better future later. Whew. I understand the urgency now for a better future later. You see, God is thinking about the best you, the best result for later. God, the gardener, is pruning our lives. He's pruning His vineyard, ultimately so that we can produce the most fruit for His glory, His church, His vineyard in the world. We read on the next few verses in this passage. Verses 3 and 4, it says this: You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You see, we get this picture of Jesus giving a little more clarity about who he is when he says that I am the true grapevine. We understand that Jesus is the true grapevine that provides. He's the provider of all that his followers will need. Now, these Jesus followers, these Jewish Jesus followers would have understood the importance of this language. They would have understood the importance of the grapevine because the grapevine was actually imagery that had been used throughout the Old Testament scripture to describe God's people, Israel. And there were lots of other things that they tied to the grapevine. And so we have this passage, which we know they would have known and understood, Psalm 80, verses 8 through 9. It says this: "You brought us from Egypt like a grapevine. You drove away the pagan nations and transplanted us into your land. You cleared the ground for us, and we took root, and we filled the land." It was understood by the Jewish people, Israel, that they were God's chosen nation, and they themselves were the grapevine. We see images all throughout the Old Testament. Their understanding was, if you want life, if you want hope, if you want to be a part of what God was doing in the world, then being connected to Israel was the key. It was such a symbol for the Jews that on their temple where they worshiped in the city of Jerusalem, the gate that went into the holy place, there were four pillars, and all along the pillars there to enter the holy place, which held the very presence of God, was something called the golden vine. And the golden vine was this massive grapevine in gold that was wrapped all around. They say that the grapes were as large as men's heads. That's how huge it was. This would have been something that he would have seen. Some scholars believe because of the path he took to get to the Garden of Gethsemane, they could have been passing the actual temple doors when he taught this. We don't know that for sure. But it would have been something they would have seen and been very familiar with. It was so symbolic to God's people that they were the grapevine, and that's how you could experience life. So isn't it incredibly significant and meaningful that Jesus, walking with his disciples to his very own betrayal, remind you, that he reveals to them this I am statement, I am the true grapevine. If you want God's presence, it's through me. If you want true life and hope, it's through me. If you want true salvation, it's through me. Whatever had been understood until this point, that their connection to God was through being a part of Israel, was now flipped upside down when Jesus said, I am. It was powerful. It was a shift in the way they would have understood what it meant to know God. Here's the reality. It doesn't matter if you're a part of a church, if you're not actually connected in relationship to Jesus. Does it matter if you're in a small group? Doesn't it matter if you've gone on mission trips, you give lots of money to good causes in the world, even good causes like the church and the ministries of the church? If we're not actually connected to Jesus as our very life source who's providing all we need, then it truly is meaningless. Verse 3, it says that it's through his message. Some translations say it's through his words that he's already giving them that purification comes from. It all comes from him. It's Jesus breaking down so many walls here for these disciples. And he's reminding them, I am the one behind it all. I'm the provider for everything you need. One of my favorite things to do every fall, which I'm sure a lot of you as well, is to go to the fair, the state fair. Now, when I was younger, I used to like to go to the fair and ride all the rides and do all that stuff. But now that I've gotten older and a little wiser, I just go for the good stuff, like the food, the people watching, which is a treat here in South Carolina, as you know. And for the agricultural building, hello, when I was 16, didn't even know the agricultural building existed, okay? But now it's like, I'm going to go get a like foot-long corn dog, and then, well, actually like a 3-foot-long corn dog, and then walk in the agricultural building. It'd be exciting. This past year at the fair, in the agricultural building, of course, they have the competition for, you know, the largest fruit, you know, largest produce, largest fruit. And this year, the winning fruit was a pumpkin that was 490 pounds. Everybody, what? 490 pounds. This was so crazy. It looked so fake that there was actually a sign on it that said, "It's real. Do not scratch." Like, I didn't know people were tempted to scratch pumpkins, but apparently it's a thing. But what really gets my attention is that there was another sign on it. And there was actually a sign on every single pumpkin that was in this competition. From the 40-pound pumpkin, which I was impressed by, to the 80-pound, to the 127-pound, to the 300-pound, all the way up to the 490-pound pumpkin, there was a sign on each one that said, "Grown by," and then a person's name. Grown by, then a person's name. You see, as people stood there and they marveled at this 490-pound mammoth piece of fruit, which I discovered pumpkin is a fruit, which I didn't know before this, people were not just impressed by the fruit itself. They were really impressed by the person who grew it. Oh, where's this person? Who's that? What's their secret? How did they do it? Where did the seed come from? What was the soil like? What did the circumstances of the season or the weather and the rain pattern play a part in it this year? How long did it take before you knew it was time to take it from the vine? You see, all these questions that I'm sure people had as they knew who this fruit was grown by. You see, God has designed our lives to be so connected to Him and Him alone that when people look at us, the only explanation is grown by Jesus. The only explanation is grown by Jesus. I'm thinking about getting a t-shirt made. I'm serious. I was like, that's good. I'm just going to like maybe get some t-shirts with that on it. Because we should be producing such fruit from our life. Though at different paces we all go and God's at work differently in our lives, and the illustration about the soil and the different seasons and circumstances of the rain that year that affects the growth of the pumpkin that I read a little bit about all plays a key into it. That's how our life is. Different circumstances come our way and shape us and speed things up and slow things down. But ultimately, the things that are coming from our life should be so evident that they can only come from God alone, that people clearly know grown by Jesus. It all points back to Jesus because it all flows from Jesus. John 15:5, it goes on and it says this. It says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers." You see, Jesus is very clear that God is the gardener here, that Jesus is the vine, and believers are the branches that produce. Believers are the branches that produce. Here's the good news for all of us today. You don't do this alone, and you don't do this on your own. That could be a bit overwhelming, right? We see Jesus clearly saying branches and not just branch. I'm like, whoo. I love the imagery of branches because it's an idea that it's all growing together in the community of the vineyard. Branches aren't just out there on their own in the wild. They're a part of a vineyard. They're all connected to the vine, and recognizing that the vine is what's giving resources to life to help it thrive, to grow, to bear fruit. The branches are all a part of the vineyard together, totally dependent on the vine and the care of the gardener. You know, something that's really, I think, important for us to realize is that it is our responsibility to produce fruit, but it's not in our own ability that we produce fruit. It's our responsibility. There's a part of what this passage is talking about that we get to choose. It is our responsibility to do a part, but it's not in our own ability that the fruit actually comes from our lives. And I think the key is in this word that's used over and over again. Actually, this word is used 7 times in just the 8 verses that we're looking at today, even more if you keep going. 7 times there's this word, remain. Some translations say abide, tarry, dwell. It means to stay connected to. There's a connection to being connected one way, but it's a mutual connection. Jesus uses this word over and over again, remain in me and I will remain in you. There is a mutual connection that is happening here. Now that is in our ability to choose. We as humans get to choose Jesus. We get to choose wanting to be a part of what he's doing in the world. This is intentional work. To remain is actually to be obedient to the things he's already revealed for us to do and take steps in faith along those lines. To be involved in prayer and community and the different disciplines to stay connected to Jesus as the source of all that we need. And there is a judgment and a result that comes from not remaining, which we also get to choose. This is what it says in verses 6-8. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. You see, the result of not remaining is removal. The result of not remaining is removal. And we don't have time to go into all of that this morning, but there is a clear separation and a clear judgment when you don't remain connected to Jesus, the ultimate source of life. There is a remaining, a removal that happens. You see, for us, what we're called to do, instead of striving to produce all these great things in our life and trying to make it and will it happen, what we need to do is understand that fruitful living comes from faithful connection. Fruitful living comes from faithful connection. This past week, a few of us on staff went on a retreat up in Asheville, North Carolina, and Pastor Jeff and I were talking about our message as we were up there, and Pastor Michael chimed in with this incredible story. I was like, oh, that's really good. So Jeff and I both were like, well, I think we're going to both use that in our sermons, if that's okay. But he told the story of when he was younger, his dad planted some muscadine grapevines, which my grandparents had some of those as well, which was really cool. And they not only just planted the branches and the vine, but also the trellises and the wires that went with it. And he was told very strictly, you are not allowed to go and play on these wires or these branches. And he knew that, but he said, like a moth to a flame, he went. And as he was there, he wasn't even really climbing on them. He was just tugging. You know, when it comes to sin, we like to test the water just a little bit. We're going to just tug on it a little bit. He said before he knew it, a whole branch had broken off in his hand. And he stood there and he's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he knew he was going to get in trouble, but he thought to himself, well, wait a minute. There's a bunch of vines, a bunch of branches just going everywhere. You don't know where anything starts or ends. I'm just going to tuck this thing in there and hook it back in somehow. No one will ever know. And that's what he did. And he said it worked. For a couple of days, and that's how long it took for the green leaves to turn brown, and they stood out like a sore thumb. You see, the reality was that since there was no longer a connection to the vine, since it was no longer remaining to the very source of life that it had, it could not produce life. It was dead. It's significant to recognize the timing of Jesus telling his disciples this story about the vineyard. It's significant because we need to remember the context is they are walking to the garden where he is about to be betrayed and turned over. He has prepared them, hey, I'm going to be leaving soon. But he is reminding them, guess what? I'm going away, but you are going to be an extension of my work and my presence in this world. We can remain connected even though I'm going away. And so the disciples are getting this picture of staying connected and remaining in him and being this extension in the world, because ultimately branches are just an extension of the vine anyways. Fruit will be the natural outflow from their life if they stay connected. And we, as God's people today, need to understand that we are an extension of his love. We are an extension of his power in this world. God cannot be fooled. Let's not confuse spiritual fluff with spiritual fruit. That's what the Pharisees were called out about all the time. They had a lot of things that they were producing in their life, but it wasn't spiritual fruit. It was spiritual fluff. God cannot be fooled by that. As believers today, we need to understand that we get to produce fruit in this world. It's our responsibility, but we do it from the ability that Jesus himself gives us through him by practicing obedience that he's called us to. You see, this picture of the vineyard, this picture of the vineyard here in John 15 was this incredible picture for us to understand. There is a role that the gardener plays, there's a role that the vine plays, and there's a role that the branches play. And ultimately, the beauty and the intent is it all works together in this vineyard for the purpose of bearing fruit. It all works together and it's connected for the purpose of bearing fruit. And if you claim to be a believer today, a Christian today, your responsibility in this world is to live a life that extends God's goodness, God's love, God's fruit in this world. That is what we get to be a part of. And the question for us this morning to all of us consider is, are we bearing that kind of fruit? And the answer isn't to go out and try really hard to bear more fruit. The answer is simply to remain, abide, be connected to Jesus himself, and that will be the outflow of your life. We get an incredible picture of just some tangible things when we think about fruit from Galatians 5 with the fruit of the Spirit. A life that only comes from remaining connected to Jesus in the vine can give this kind of fruit. The list is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If that's the kind of fruit that's coming out of our lives, if we're growing in those things, and that's the experience that people have when they interact with us, there's going to be no explanation but grown by Jesus. Amen? I am not patient on my own. I do not have self-control on my own. We need to ask ourselves, do we really want that? Do we really want more love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Do we really want more of that in our heart, in our home, in our church, in our community, in the world? If so, the only answer is us being connected to Jesus and the very thing that he wants to extend in this world. The picture that we get from the prophet Isaiah is one that just really continues to stick with me throughout this week as I've studied. And I want to read it for us. It is in Isaiah 27. Hear these words describing God's heart for the vineyard. It says, "In that day, sing about the fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, will watch over it, watering it carefully. Day and night I will watch so no one can harm it. My anger will be gone. If I find briars and thorns growing, I will attack them. I will burn them up. Unless they turn to me for help, let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. The time is coming when Jacob's descendants will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill the whole earth with fruit." Fill the whole earth with fruit. I love this picture that's painted in Isaiah because it shows how serious God takes the fruitfulness of his people. It shows the care It shows the concern that God has, that he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to protect his vineyard from people and outside sources. He's willing to do whatever it takes to trim away and care and cut away things to give provision for care, for it to grow and be all it was intended to be. And his heart is for the whole earth to be filled with this kind of fruit. And we, as God's extension in the world today, get to bear that kind of fruit in the world. The world is hungry. No one can deny that today. The world is hungry and starving for this type of fruit. The world is starving for more love, for more joy, for more peace, for more patience. The world is starving for more goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Can you imagine the change in our world if we began to live this out? It's what people are actually hungering for, whether they recognize it or not. But the question for us is, as people experience us and the things that come out of our lives, what we're bearing in this world, are they experiencing an extension of God's love and fruit towards them, or are they experiencing sour grapes? Isaiah goes on to talk about that in another part of his book, that Israel had become sour grapes and had not taken serious what it means to bear the fruit of God in the world. For us this morning, our question is this, and our prayer is this, to be reminded that remaining in the vine is an invitation for the gardener to work on me. Remaining in the vine is an invitation for the gardener to work on me. Isn't it easy to be like, look at that branch over there, withering. Look, I'm more fruitful than that branch is. No. Today, the invitation is simply to invite the gardener to work on you. I read this past week the idea of the green thumb, which I mentioned earlier I do not have. But the idea of the green thumb literally came from the understanding that people that would do a lot of things with plants, their fingers would actually get green. And that's why the phrase stuck on, green thumb. And as I was looking that up, one of the sites I found, a dictionary online, gave a sentence to describe it, you know, and this is what it said. This person has a green thumb and can make even the desert bloom. I was like, oh, and I thought to myself, God has a green thumb. God has a green thumb. He can make the desert bloom. He can make the dry bones alive. He can bring life where there's been death. He is a source of all life in the world. God has a green thumb. So no matter where you find yourself out today, you may feel like the little withering branch, barely hanging on. You may feel like you're barely hanging on because of all the cutting back that God's been doing in your life and maybe narrowing things down. You may feel like that, but can you trust the hand of the gardener? Maybe this morning you feel like you don't feel connected anymore for whatever reason. And guess what? There is an invitation to connect to Jesus as the very source of all life and the very source of eternal life for you today. And that is our prayer, that we would come before him in that posture to invite God the gardener to work on us, to Jesus to produce in us a life that bears fruit in the world, that ultimately points back to who he is and how good he is. And that's our prayer today. I want to invite you to close your eyes this morning as we prepare to respond and sing this last song. I want you just to sit a moment and think about what work maybe does God need to do in your own heart and life today. Where does there need to be trimming away at the attention of things that are drawing the main attention away from the best things for your life? Where can you choose to be more obedient and remain and abide and tarry with the very God of the universe so that he can be at work producing something in you that the world's desperate for. God, we are grateful for your work in our life. We pray that as we sit in these moments, as we hear these words, as we respond, that our hearts are open to your word to shape us, to mold us, to be all that you've called us to be. And that we would never try to do this life on our own and know that it only comes from you and you alone, the source of all that is good. It's the holy and powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.